Good morning, everybody, and happy Monday to you on basically the first Monday. I think it's the first day of spring. Monday, March 21st, 2022. I think it's today, so happy with today. Today is the equinox, so happy day to you, okay? I'm a little mixed up there. I forgot about that till we just started the show. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K 12 Education Talk Radio. It's a pleasure to have you here today with us. I've got our friends from Landmark College here. Fern Bork actually is here with us. She's been on before. Wonderful guest. She's an assistant director of admissions at Landmark College. She's a training coordinator as well. And her son is an alum of the college. And she's going to talk about post-secondary support for neurodiverse students who learn differently. And I love working with Landmark, and it's going to be a great show as I bring Fern back on in just a couple of seconds. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org like we always do. If you go over there, you'll see a link to our newest thing, which is some wonderful teacher training and school district training for teachers called the Compassionate Teaching Reset. Okay, and that's, you can look that up under professional learning there. You can go to teacher-retention.com. We're very concerned how many educators are leaving the profession and how small the cohorts are in education schools. Okay, so as a result, all right, we have teacher-retention.com. You go over there, you'll see what we're doing. ace-ed.org is where our magazine lives. That's Equity and Access, our online journal. You'll see it there. Click on the cover. Enjoy the magazine. Okay, it's wonderful. All right, we have all kinds of information over there and a link to our new website, which is called SEL Today, which is all about social emotional learning. So please check out everything we do, and it's all there over at ace-ed.org. And here's Fern. Hi, Fern. It's Larry.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm just getting my mouth moving today. It's 10:30 in the morning on Monday, the first day of spring, and for some reason my mouth is running about a minute behind my brain, so I apologize.
No need to apologize ever.
Hopefully,
my brain and my mouth are working in conjunction with one another.
I'm sure they are. I've been doing busy work here at my desk all morning waiting for this show, and so I'm just getting used to talking again, okay, after the weekend. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. How are things going?
Where are you in Western Massachusetts today?
I live in a little town called Northfield, very near the Massachusetts, Vermont, and New Hampshire borders. And not far from Landmark.
Right by Pittsfield. And all that sort of stuff.
Pittsfield's a little bit farther afield.
I'll give you Williamstown. How's that?
A little farther afield, a little bit farther west. So I'm closer to Brattleboro, Vermont, and New Hampshire. But you've got the right general location, Larry.
Location, et cetera. Okay.
Yes.
Fern, it's your son, right? It's a son you have, right?
I do have a son.
Who graduated Landmark. What's he doing these days?
Aaron is in Washington, D.C. He has pursued a career in hospitality, post-Landmark and post-American University. He stayed in D.C.
Cool.
And right now he's taken himself back to school to earn an interdisciplinary degree in social justice and leadership. So, yeah, he's doing a lot of very cool things, and I am forever grateful to Landmark that provided the foundation for all of that.
Well, you must be. You work there. They've done a good job.
That's why I work there, by the way. I didn't work there when Aaron was in school.
And he's pursuing. So what do you mean when you say that? What does he want to do? Get involved with nonprofits or what? What does he want to do?
Nonprofits, equity in labor. And nonprofit organizations, and he's pursuing a dream that became a passion for him while he was still at Landmark.
Wow. Well, that is fantastic. Right? I wish him well.
Yeah. Thank you.
I do too. D.C., the land of hot air, so I hope he does all right. Summer's coming, you know? Good stuff though, down there.
Yep.
Expensive, but good stuff, so we'll leave it at that. All right, and impossible traffic. But I don't want to harp on that. I want to talk about Landmark. And Landmark College is in Putney, Vermont, everybody. And it's a school for students who learn differently. And if you have teachers or parents, whoever's listening today, okay, if you have a student that is neurodiverse, okay, we can say they're going off to college and they're certainly capable of doing that. Okay, but not every college is capable of handling someone who is neurodiverse. Landmark is. Okay, so it's Landmark College. It's Landmark EDU in Putney, Vermont. Fern's son went there. Obviously, he's being very successful and doing a great job. Fern is their assistant director of admissions. Believe me, she knows this firsthand. Talk about, Fern, if you will, okay, what the how expectations change from working with K-12 counselors and special education teachers and mainstream teachers, if you're a parent of a kid who's neurodiverse, okay, to a college situation. How's it work for how's it different for the parent? How's it different for the student?
So part of understanding that really necessitates understanding the legal landscape, which changes dramatically from high school to college. So K-12, the law that defines and protects student rights is the IDEA, Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, and Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act. The IDEA is essentially a law that says that all students have a right to a free and appropriate public education in the least mm-hmm. restrictive environment possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the school itself responsible for student success. So the school must identify students who need support, must evaluate those students, and out of those evaluations develops an IEP or a 504 plan. But mm-hmm. that all changes as a student goes from high school to college. So in college, the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, takes over from the IDEA.
Okay.
And what that is it's a federal civil rights law that protects people with disabilities, but it doesn't look at education as a right. The college has no responsibility student success anymore. And so a student who wants and needs support has got to take responsibility for disclosing, for providing whatever documentation is required, for becoming a really strong self-advocate. And that's another one of the really big differences. When a student gets to college, chances are if they're neurodivergent, their parents have been pretty involved in the process of advocating for them. Now suddenly they are an adult and they are in a new position where they are going to need to be able to self-advocate. And that can be really challenging.
That brings up an interesting point. How involved, I want to talk about Landmark in particular. How involved do parents get when a student, I know it depends on the individual, but at Landmark, because parents of neurodiverse kids are usually they advocate strongly, all right? And, it's hard to back down from that in a college landscape. The time has come, so to speak. I get parenting. I got two of my own, all right? But I'm curious, how involved are the parents, okay? And there must be a frustration level if this college is saying, he's on his own now. We don't have to listen to you anymore. Well, what'd you find as a parent? And it's interesting.
Sure. So Landmark is, in some ways, a very traditional liberal arts college, and in other ways, as you know, we're very unique. And so there is more communication with families at Landmark, but still the job of a college is to provide a pathway for students to become independent. And that's even truer, I think, at a college for neurodivergent students. So there's a balance to be had. We don't cut the parents off. If a student signs a FERPA agreement, certainly we will communicate. But we communicate first with the student. If we need to involve parents or if parents want to be involved, we involve them in tandem with their students so that it is a group process. But, your question is really, really interesting because I don't know how many other colleges provide parent orientation. So while our new students are going through orientation, we provide an orientation for families because those
families
are stepping into a new role. And believe me, I
understand
how hard that is from my own very
personal experience. That's why I asked you the question.
Well, so I joke that when Aaron went to Landmark, we both became students, only he was a much quicker learner.
Funny. Did you get a degree, too? I'm only kidding.
I'm still working on it. He's 29, and I'm still working on it, Larry.
That's funny. That's funny. Right. No, it is. You know what? But it's a really important thing. And for teachers who are listening to this and educators, they got to prepare parents. Because I just had a gentleman today who had to postpone one of the podcasts we were going to do. We were able to reschedule it because, quote, he has a meeting he forgot about on his student's IEP, individual education plan, his son's IEP, okay? And, you know, I never had that. My kids never had that particular thing. But my point is parents whose kids are neurodiverse, they get very involved, and all of a sudden, boop, okay, it's only your kids in college. He's an adult now, and everybody likes that. Okay, but still, you know, you want to give some help. And to go to Landmark, they understand all this. They build their whole education structure around that. Okay?
And
go ahead. Please, Fern, go. Yeah.
Oh, and that's the advantage of going to a college that is exclusively for students who are neurodivergent.
Yes,
I mean, we get neurodiversity. We get that the strengths that it represents. We don't look at our students as having deficits. We think of our job as helping them leverage their gifts to manage the challenges,
to meet
the challenges that their learning difference presents. But these are not deficits. In many situations, these same neurocognitive traits are really adaptive strengths, things like in the business world, in STEM, in the arts. So we help students learn to meet those challenges.
I think that's great. And again, I do not mean to condemn other colleges, but they are not prepared for this. Okay? And their professors are not prepared for this. All right? And I think what you guys do is so wonderful in regards to all this because you get it from minute one.
Well, and part of that is being able to identify what the right level of support is for a particular student. So education shouldn't be cookie cutter. It isn't one size fits all, nor is Landmark the perfect place for every student simply because they're neurodivergent.
Well said.
But you need to identify what the right setting is, what the right support is, and that's why I always tell students as they begin their college journey, start it as an inner journey. Look for greater self-awareness. Ask yourself the important questions.
Nice.
Why am I going to college? What do I want to get out of the experience? And above all, what are the accommodations and support that I need to most ensure my chance of success?
What are the questions that students and parents, so these are the questions that come up more, the common questions that parents of neurodiverse students heading off to college, what's the common questions they ask you all the time? And there must be a whole group of them that are the same everywhere. What are the common questions?
You know, some of the questions are, well, as parents are deciding with their students, does my student really need this much support? That's something I hear a lot at Landmark. And I think there is a tendency to underestimate the amount of support that is appropriate. And that support is so important. You know, if we look at statistics, only 51% of all students who go on with their education after high school earn some kind of post-secondary degree. But only about a third of neurodivergent students succeed in that. And when we look at the many reasons that happens, one of the things we see is that students who wait until after their first year to request accommodations, one study done at a large state university found that they had 3.5 times the risk of not graduating within 6 years.
Wow.
And that, by the way, is another reason why 40% of our students are still transfer students who have already attended one, two, and sometimes even three other colleges because they're not getting the right level of support to provide a strong foundation from the beginning. So that's, you know, that's one of the questions
that
I get a lot is, does my student really need this much support? You know, at the same time that Landmark provides support, what we're also really good at is developing self-motivated, independent students who know exactly what they need to do in any environment to succeed. And that is a gift that serves them well, not just while they're in college, but throughout the rest of their lives.
And, you know, Fernie keeps using the word, we give them supports, we give them supports, and I know you do. What falls under that support umbrella? What types of support, okay, should they be looking for? Should they be asking about? Maybe that's a way to put it, too.
Well, I can speak to how we approach it. So the key person in our model is an advisor. So at Landmark, a student starts meeting weekly with their advisor from the time they walk on campus. So there is a person who really gets to know the student, helps the student develop self-advocacy and greater self-awareness, helps them with executive function coaching if they desire it, you know, also can point them towards other forms of support. But because of that advisor structure that we have in place, no student ever slips through the cracks. So at bigger colleges and at colleges that don't have this kind of a model, some of the students we get are the exact students who would easily slip through the cracks at another institution. But there's more than that. We offer one-to-one support in our academic support center. So all colleges today have that kind of a center, but Landmark's is different in that it is faculty and trained professionals offering the one-to-one services. It isn't peer mentors who understand content but aren't trained to teach unique learners.
Yeah.
So that's another kind of support. You know, for students who are on the autism spectrum, they may not need, to the same extent, our academic supports, but we've got a really robust program of social pragmatic supports. So there, again, is when you start to tailor the needs of your student to what a college offers. A college that offers simply accommodations is generally not going to be able to provide that kind of social pragmatic support or the same level of one-to-one teaching from professionals whose whole background, whose whole training is in teaching students to learn differently.
Yeah, and on that note, and I don't know enough about this to ask this question as properly as I would like to, so I'm just going to ask it. When we say autism, okay, there are degrees of autism. There was someone who was, I'll just use this in my layman's terms, mildly autistic versus somebody who might be severely autistic. But that person might be very bright, all right, and capable, if I may, and intellectual, if I may. But they may have serious autism challenges. How, I want to ask this properly. If a child is severely, or a student, I shouldn't say a child at this stage, if someone is severely autistic, okay, and I don't know where that level is, can they still do well at a college like Landmark? And that's I don't mean to discriminate in that question. I'm just trying to get a sense of where we have to look at something like that.
So there's a reason we call it the autism spectrum, because as you indicate, it is a very full spectrum. I don't mean to evade your question, but you know you're asking a question about something
question,
that is very,
you know, yeah, I don't know.
It's a very gray area.
Yeah, it is.
So what we do at Landmark is we look at every student on a very individual, very holistic basis. So rather than give a broad general answer, what I would say is we work very, very closely with students during the application process. So where a traditional college might spend 15 or 20 minutes looking at an application, and that's if it even ends up in the hands of an admission counselor before getting screened out, the average amount of time we spend looking at an applications landmark is 3 to 5 hours. And if it raises any other questions,
wow.
we take it further. We will get on the phone. We will talk to teachers. We will talk to counselors, parents, more conversations with the student. So we answer that question on a very individual basis, and that's probably the best I can say to you, Larry.
No, that was a great answer, actually. That was a great answer. That's something that I never knew. Okay, how much time is spent, and you are assistant director of admissions, on the admissions process? Okay, because one of the things, and it's regular colleges sometimes this is annoying to me. One of the goals at Landmark, okay, is for the student to succeed. Okay, you don't want to set up a kid for failure. All right, and so when you take the time to really look at that application and really talk to the child, talk to the parents, talk to the students, teachers, okay, and counselors, et cetera. You get, when you accept that student into Landmark, as an example, you already know what's coming in. You're ready for that student, and there's a very good chance they're going to be successful at it, at their college experience. And I think that's a very key thing, what you said. Very key.
And that's why we pay so much, you know, so much attention to it. We do not... You hit a very key point. We do not want to set up a student for failure. Neurodivergent students have often experienced lots of failure when it comes to education. And it's one of the reasons when we get transfer students, we often have to work so hard rebuilding confidence in their ability to learn. Because that not unsuccessful, or what some people describe as having crashed and burned experience, gives us an awful lot of rebuilding to do, a lot of work the student has to do in their own mind about their abilities to succeed. But we believe very strongly in all of our students and the gifts that they bring with them. I just would hope that they would start out their college time in a place that would help provide the kind of foundation so that they didn't need to experience that kind of failure, which can be so debilitating.
Right, and a bigger university, though, they might say they have a program that's going to work for a student that is neurodiverse, okay? In a large university, that's going to get, I don't mean to be derogatory to them per se, but in this case, okay, that's going to get watered down. They're not as well prepared, okay, as the specialty colleges. You know, it's that simple. I mean, it just makes sense. Go ahead, Fern. What did you say?
Well, that's the reason why parents and students should really ask lots and lots of questions. It's not enough to look at what any college says they deliver. You need to find out what they really deliver. And so I always encourage prospective families to talk to other students, for parents to speak to parents of current students, whatever college that they're exploring, because you need to get some of the information from people who are receiving those services and find out how it's working.
Yeah, you really do. And how involved? I don't know if you know this. Should K-12, obviously elementary school is a little bit in the past. Okay, but let's just say high. I'll keep it simple. In high school, teachers, okay, and counselors, how involved should they be with a neurodiverse kid moving on to college? What should they be looking for a bright kid, okay, who has a future, and how can they help prepare a kid for college? Aaron must have gone through this. I mean, you know,
Aaron
worked with these teachers,
Aaron was very committed to going to a traditional college, by the way. He was not interested in anything like Landmark. I don't think it's too strong a word to say I dragged him to an open house where I looked at around and I said, this is the perfect place for Aaron. And he looked at me and he said, no way.
I have to interrupt you for a second. Let me just say, I want to just say something.
Sure.
Well, I mean, it's easy for me to say they're in Putney, Vermont, okay? Putney, Vermont is right by Brattleboro, New Hampshire, okay, which is a beautiful part of the world. It is a great place to go to college. The college has a gorgeous campus, tons of skiing, okay? This is really a – I don't want people to think it's like a building in the middle of nowhere. in the middle of a cornfield or something. It's this beautiful, it's a funny story. It's this beautiful campus in a beautiful place. That's all I just had to say that. Sorry.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And it's actually, I find it to be exactly that. And, you know, and more than just a beautiful campus, it's a real learning community.
Yeah,
when
it's
you
a good
get
place.
400 or so students on a small, self-contained campus who are all working on some kind of a challenge, what you end up with is a really inclusive, supportive, welcoming community in which everybody knows and feels that they are an integral part. You know, nobody is ever at Landmark on the outside looking in the way they might be in another setting.
Yeah, exactly. 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 And so I forgot what I was going to ask before, but how did Aaron do when he got there? Let's just ask it that way. What were his thoughts when he arrived?
Well,
how involved were his teachers in making that decision? Did he look to them at all? His K-12
teachers? His teachers did not help him make the decision. Aaron is a strong, opinionated person. He has been since he was a toddler. I can't imagine where he got that from, Larry.
I don't know. I have no idea.
She
I'm sorry
jokingly.
You're not here to defend yourself, Aaron. Your mother will not play this for you. It's too embarrassing. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You know what? The apple didn't fall far from the tree. So he...
It's funny.
He got limited advising that put him in that direction. What happened with Landmark is, like a lot of kids, they learn from experience. And so Aaron offered me up a compromise when he also told me, no way am I going there for college. And his compromise was, I will attend the high school summer program. And so he did that July. And he went, by the way, tells you a little bit more about Aaron, with only one intention, which was to come back with the definitive list of all the good reasons why Landmark was a terrible place and why he wouldn't be going.
It's a riot.
He did not show me that list because he wasn't able to develop it. He got on campus, spent 3 weeks, loved the way we taught, loved even more the community and what it felt like to be someplace where everybody got it. And he came back from that experience and didn't apply to any other college. He applied only to Landmark.
There you go.
Teachers and counselors can be a source of information to point students along that path. So, you know, we've got the Internet at our disposal, and I love putting in searches like best colleges for students with ADHD. You will get very valuable results, you know, and you can explore those websites further then. I always advise people to look at both disability services and universally available services, because at most colleges, students are going to be using a combination of both of those things. And then there's also a really valuable guide, the K&W Guide to Colleges for Students with Learning Differences, is an exhaustive guide to all kinds of colleges and universities across the whole country. What's really useful is the appendix, which sorts these institutions according to the level of service they provide, because that's another thing that's very different in college than in high school. It ranges from colleges that offer simply accommodations and nothing more than that, to really comprehensive programs like Landmark and some things that are kind of in between, including traditional colleges and universities that have within them some kind of structured learning support program.
All good stuff, I got to tell you. Fern, it's great to have you here. It's so nice to talk to you. I really mean it. It's nice to have you back.
It's great talking to you too, Larry. We should do this more often.
Pal. We can. I love it. Okay, it's really fun. Good luck to Aaron, who sadly was not here to defend himself about college choice. It all worked out.
Right? It all worked out. I couldn't
so
be happier.
It's classic. All right, it is truly classic. Thank you so much. You have a great day. Stay safe, okay? We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Larry. You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Landmark EDU, everybody. That's Fern Bork, who's obviously terrific. Okay, and please check it out. This is really worthwhile. Point kids in the right direction here. We want them to succeed, obviously. All right, Landmark EDU will archive over at ace-ed.org. Check out everything we're doing, like teacher-retention.com, seltoday.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening. Happy spring.